Thank you for joining me. I'm Bob Franklin with Angel Martin and our guest today, Daniel D. Before I ask my question, I'm going to allow Angel to give us an introduction on our guest.
Well, thank you, Dr. Franklin. We have the very talented violinist Daniel D. with us. For those of you who don't know him, he's a young man who discovered his talent to play the violin at the tender age of 12 and has recently released his first album. He's a 2009 Apollo winner and was a spotlight performer on BET's 106 in Park. Thanks for joining us, violinist Daniel D.
It's a pleasure being here.
Great. We are extremely happy to have you on our program today and to introduce you and reintroduce you to others. Let me ask you, first of all, Daniel, when did you become interested in music, and can you tell us about your first public performance?
I started playing the violin at 12 years of age. I took it on as an exploratory when I was in middle school. I wasn't very serious about it. I'll be honest. I decided to take the class because there were supposed to be girls in the class, and I didn't realize it was a hidden agenda. It was between the violin and handbells when I first started out, so I decided to stick with the violin. And I soon homeschooled after that. And when I was homeschooling, my sister got a keyboard for Christmas. I got the drums. Weren't really feeling the drums, so I decided to pick up the violin that I was sitting around from my middle school years. And I got a violin instructor who just blew me away with his playing. I met him at a church for violin lessons. He came up. He was just bummy as can be. But he just didn't look like the typical violinist, and he blew me away, classical playing. And from that point on, I never stopped.
Later in the program, we're going to have our audience receive a demonstration of this extraordinary connoisseur in our studios, Daniel D. I'm going to pass the questioning on now to Angel Martin, and I'll be back with a few more questions. Angel.
You have a very unique way of taking popular songs like Billie Jean and Knock You Down and intermixing your violin with them to create a very unique sound. What made you bring the violin into the mix?
Well, originally I'm a classical violinist. I'm still a classical violinist to the day. I believe that the ability to play classical music is very fundamental in my ability to play hip-hop, jazz, and everything else. It's basically the basic building blocks of any musician. As far as bringing the hip-hop, jazz, and the other styles I do play, they started when one of my dad's friends was a jazz DJ, and he came over to the crib one time and just started playing some records and instrumentals and was like, Daniel, you think you could do something over these records? I was like, well, let me see what I can do. Let me try. So I started learning the melodies to these instrumentals, and next thing you know, I was playing the whole song and harmonizing with it, and then sooner or later, I was improvising and writing my own solos.
Well, that's definitely a good thing that you accepted the invitation to at least try it when he, you know, because a lot of people...
I did. I was one of those classical players that used to look down upon, those people who play by ear, people that play jazz violin and whatnot, or fiddle, or... And I did not think it was real music, but I fell into it, and I love it. It's a strong passion of mine, and I love to use it to inspire others. A lot of kids, you're able to touch a lot of kids. Well, I know that song. That's what I listen to on the radio.
I want to ask you, Daniel, who are some of your musical and personal idols?
Miri Ben-Ari, who's a hip-hop violinist, classically trained from Israel, who's played a lot, has done some work with Kanye West, Jay-Z. Believe it or not, Kenny G, I look to him big time because his marketability and the way he's made the saxophone an instrument a household name. You know, everybody knows who Kenny G. The people who hate Kenny G know who Kenny G is. And the way he's everywhere, and he's sold millions of records. Between Miri Ben-Ari, Kenny G, Nothing But Strings, Black Violin, Joshua Bell, a popular classical violinist, Itzhak Perlman as well, a popular classical violinist, are definitely some of my inspirations.
So what do you take from each of them? It seems as though you're building upon each of their areas of expertise. Tell me a little bit about
different
that.
Different things. From this group called Nothing But Strings, I take their stage presence. Nothing But Strings is a classical violin duo that plays hip-hop. And just the way they vibe on stage is just amazing. Kenny G, his business sense to sell millions of records and to be an instrumentalist. And he's been featured on so many different popular artists' records. I admire that from him. And the technique of Joshua Bell. I love his sound. It's so beautiful.
Can you get inside the techniques to just kind of break it down for our audience?
Joshua Bell, a lot of people, a lot of classical players don't really like him sometimes because he plays so soft and he's really expressive in performance. But when I saw him, when I was able to see him live, he just blew me away. I love how soft he plays. He'll sit there and play double stops, chords, and really intense solos, but he's able to make them sound so sweet.
Okay. Angel.
And you do need the whole package, and I see that you're exemplifying that very well today.
Thank you.
I know that you've performed for President Obama, Oprah, and several other notable audiences. What was that experience like?
Very enjoyable, and I get asked that quite a bit, even as far as the Apollo, the 106 and whatnot. But to me, I treat everybody the same. There's no celebrity status in my mind. I don't do the whole being shocked when I see somebody popular. We're all on the same level to me. I don't think nobody's bigger than anybody else. But I do take it as a great opportunity, though, a great opportunity to promote myself and to touch others.
And you also are going to play for us today, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
We're looking forward to really exposing the genius that we have before us on this program. I'd like to ask, regarding your music, what messages would you like young people to get from you playing your music, and specifically your music?
Well, hopefully it will inspire them, to show them, just like the way I was inspired, that you don't have to look a certain way, act a certain way, be a certain way to play an instrument like the violin, and do the same for them, that you don't have to look a certain way, you don't have to fit a certain stereotype to be a violinist. You can have fun with it, and you don't have to, you can play classical, you can play jazz, R&B, you can fiddle with it, any style you want to.
Is there a stigma related to, you know, a stereotype of the classical music violinist?
I believe there is. There really is. There is. A lot of people associate it with maybe the quiet, nerdy type, you know, definitely not African American. And so my goal is to hopefully break that. Be one of many to break it. And to me, two things need to be saved when it comes to music. You have to save the instrument, and you have to save the music. And I'm hoping that with what I'm doing, I'm hopefully helping to save the instrument. And we still need people to help save the genre of classical music. Even in my hometown of Charleston, it just saddens me how I hear and read articles in the paper about nobody's coming to the symphony concerts. They're underpaid. You know, recently our Charleston Symphony just went on to do a whole new marketing campaign to hopefully promote and increase ticket sales, but it failed. And then also hear about some of these bigger cities, like out in L.A., where these bigger cities are where musicians in my area are wanting to go to, because those are the only orchestras that are actually still up and running and still making money. And just to hear about some of them, how they're suffering with ticket sales, is really not good.
So do you feel yourself to be an ambassador for classical music, as well as an ambassador for African-American young people to come into classical music?
I do. And just for music lovers in general, and for people to come into the era of string music, and to see that the violin and other string instruments are heard throughout music we hear all the time. Movies, classical music, elevators, no matter where you're at, rock music, hip-hop music, rap, you hear the strings in the background, whether it be real or synthesized, you hear it, and to actually bring it to the forefront. That's my goal.
And that's a great goal. You have a new album. Tell us about it.
My album's called Play For Me. I produced it a couple months back. It has 15 cuts, one hidden cut. It's a jazz R&B-based album with a classical flair to it, and I'm just out promoting it.
And how are you promoting it? By visiting places?
Visiting different places. I'm doing a lot of different radio interviews. I'm performing. I've been out here. This is my second time out here. Hopefully I'll be able to come back more often. I stay in Rock Hill, South Carolina, actually the Charlotte area, North Carolina, and that's where I've been promoting it mainly, but I'm glad to be given the opportunity to come out here in the Midwest region to promote it.
I'm interested in the role that your parents play. Talk about their encouragement and how they got you going, or what was their role?
My parents play management now, basically. They come to as many shows as possible, interviews, anything else I'm doing music-related. They're able to handle my finances whenever I get paid and whatnot, and I greatly appreciate that, because I've had to to deal with. I've noticed that when it comes to the music industry, it's not even always about the talent foremost. It seems like you just have to have a lot of business sense and a lot of connections to really be able to make it in there. And just having dealt with managers who just want to ride your coattail to the top or just try to use you and whatnot, I realize my parents are the only ones I can mainly trust.
I'm interested. I once did an interview with a gentleman who played Mark Twain. He would get into character, and once into character, he would say, as he prepared to perform, that he would focus on maybe one person in that audience, and he would talk to that particular individual. I'm interested in, as you are before huge crowds, and you're about to play, what goes through your mind? How do you get yourself prepared to perform?
Well, I'm happiest when I'm on stage. I don't understand how some artists, everybody gets nervous, of course, but I don't understand how some artists have such large amounts of stage fright. To me, being on stage is the most peaceful place because I'm able to cut out the bill I have to pay next month. I'm able to cut out not thinking about, you know, doing this and doing that. I'm able just to be free for those 5 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour that I'm on stage performing. It just allows me to relax.
It's almost like sanctuary, huh?
It is. It really is. That's the most enjoyable moment.
I'm interested also in knowing whether or not you can be a purist and only love classical music without having an understanding of blues, gospel, hip-hop. Can you be a purist and just be exclusively a classical music person? Or do you feel that there's a relationship between blues music, jazz music, Celtic, and all the rest?
I do. The way a lot of classical music listeners are today, they have that mentality whereas they only listen to classical music. But one thing I do feel, especially talking amongst my other musician friends who are violinists, it's unique doing the style that I do or being a lot of players that play bluegrass or jazz and whatnot. And the problem I find is a lot of them aren't open to other styles. The greatest people are open-minded people. The greatest people are open-minded people, people that are able to you can take something from hip-hop, you can take something from certain rap, you can take something from jazz and classical and be able to combine them. And they're all unique. And I've always sit amongst my friends and we're always talking about, man, it's easy to do what you do or man, it's harder to do that kind of style of music and whatnot. Each style has their difficulties, their challenges, and their easy moments. You know, sometimes classical musicians, why is it that you can make so much more money in the pop music and the hip hop and whatnot and the current music? You know, that's easy to play those kind of melodies and whatnot, the hip hop. But they have different challenges. You know, not everybody can get in front of an audience who, when you're coming out and you're doing the hip hop thing, the audience is right from the front. They're gonna think that, oh, he's gonna come up and he's gonna be bad. You know, to win a crowd over like that is tough. It's really tough because they've never seen it before.
You kind of remind me of Wynton Marsalis, you know, and his ability to go in and out.
I admire him quite a bit. I really do because he is a very good classical player. He's a very good jazz player. He's able to make the balance perfectly, and that's why I admire Miri Ben-Ari as well because she's a very, very, very good classical player, and she's an extremely good hip-hop performer. And that's the balance that I feel like it works best. Because classical music is the foundation. I always can tell when a string player is not classically trained as a violinist. It's so easy to tell with the technique. But adding that classical to it will give you a certain ability and a certain edge, I believe. But nothing against players that aren't, though. Because I give all players respect. Because anybody, especially with the violin, whether you're a jazz player and you've never touched classical, whether you play country music all the time, I give you respect because at least you're continuing on to birth the instrument and showcasing it to others. Because like I said before, somebody's got to help save the music, whether you're playing hip-hop or saving it, doing some country or some Irish fiddle or, you know, any type of Celtic music, jazz, hip-hop, classical. Somebody's got to save that and the music as well.
You're listening to the Public Affairs program Like It Is. In the studio with me is Angel Martin and our guest, South Carolina native Daniel Davis. We're going to return to the interview just momentarily, but we're going to take a listen to Daniel's tune, Sweet Thing, off his compact disc, Play For Me. You're listening to Like It Is. I'm Bob Franklin. ¶¶ Bob Franklin. With me in the studio is Angel Martin and Daniel D. We've been discussing the career of this very young and dynamic violinist. He is the winner of the 2009 Apollo Winner, Charlotte Music Award recipient, and BET 106 Park Spotlight Performer. I'm going to throw it to my colleague Angel, and she's going to introduce Daniel D.
Thank you. Daniel D is going to share his talent with us today. I'm sorry. Daniel D is going to share his talent with us, and we do thank him for that. The dream is realized definitely in this piece. The title of it is The Dream Today. Violinist Daniel D.
Judge by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Just as I have a dream.
Extraordinary performance by violinist extraordinaire Daniel D. I'm Bob Franklin. Before we end, we'll throw it to Angel if you have any closing remarks.
Thank you again for that. My last question to you, violinist Daniel D., would be, what words of encouragement would you offer to those interested in pursuing this career and awesome job?
Thank you, and staying focused and don't let anybody move you from your beliefs and what you want to do. I believe anything is possible. I truly believe, because on the side, I also like to produce as well. It's like the piece I just played, produce that. And so a lot of my friends are musicians who I'll get with in studio and recording, and we'll produce for them. And just hearing how, man, they'll tell me how, well, people, my family's telling me I'm not going to be able to sing well. I'm not going to be able to make it, and this and that. I believe you should always surround yourself with people that believe in you.
Whether it be one person, keep that one person with you all the time. Five people, keep them around you all the time.
Great advice.
I'll just coin a phrase, yes, you can. And my last question or thought would be, is what inspiration do you draw from President Barack Obama?
I draw the same inspiration that Mary Ben-Ari, Kenny G, and even Itzhak Perlman have, just to see that how they've overcome an obstacle. Itzhak Perlman, a lot of people don't know his disability, how Mary Ben-Ari was able to bring a classical instrument and jump into a genre of music where the violin is not really respected and seen put in, how Kenny G is able to be an instrumentalist and sell so many records, and how Barack Obama is able to become president. Even though, you know, it's not just race. He's a lot younger. A lot of the politicians thought he wouldn't have enough experience, but he's got the job. He qualified.
And you're doing the job, my inspiration, Daniel D. Thank you for spending time with us today, and we want you to come back, please.
Will do, most definitely.
Okay. Special thanks, Daniel Davis, your selections office compact disc, Play For Me. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.